If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where'd you come from?
Paloma, and I come from Pear Street.
Paloma, you and I go back a very long time, and we've also sat down and recorded. God, I don't know. How long ago do you think it is now?
Was that a year ago?
Could be a year, could be more.
Yeah.
I think it could be even two. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Because, you followed Root, and I think so, because it was Jennifer Faye, then that's how I got to know Root, and then you, I think. So, I think it could be 2 years ago.
Wow.
And isn't it mad that you and Root reached out to each other through the podcast?
Do you know what? She feels like a big sister now. Mm. Do you know that way? Like, it's this connection that you can't, like, it's mad. I think just because we have been through so much trauma, similar traumas and similar life, and, you know, come out the other end, we literally were, you could call it like a kindred spirit, definitely same morals, same values, you know, and the same struggles and everything. We just kind of really bonded over that, and I genuinely don't think I'd have got through a few of the trials this year without her. Like, you know, she's a fighter, like an absolute, and she's super intelligent. Like, you know, our warden, and how, like, she, I said to her one day, you could be totally in politics. Like, she's amazing.
Mm. And that's what I love about the podcast and the connections that it brings so many people through. Now, I know you lost your brother.
Yeah.
Last year. And whilst that was happening, the reason we're sitting down again today is we want to talk about a very serious subject.
Yes.
Which is trolling, and just about the horribleness that can happen on social media.
Yeah.
So do you want to just start from the moment your phone lights up, and then we'll talk about Alan and talk about everything like that?
Yeah, like it was mad, because I was seeing all these girls in America doing reels, you know, and it was all about creeps in the gym and everything. And I'm like old school. I started off in the gym in Mount Joy, like lifting weight. There was a girl locked up. She was a bodybuilder. And I was 17, just gone 17, and she introduced me to the gym. And it's real funny, me and Ruth did laugh about this. We were allowed smoke in the gym. So we'd be on the step aerobics, you know, doing a passing a cigarette to each other and all, and doing a set and then smoking and all. Like, it was hilarious. But what I'm saying about that is, I came home, went to the gym with my brother Patrick. He was supporting me and bringing me to the gym. And I'm just used to old school, rugged weight training, you know, bodybuilding gyms, you know. So when I was seeing them all saying about, he's looking at me, he's a creep and all, I was like, that's so wrong. Because, like, not all men, not all, like, male attention in a gym is negative. Now, the man in all my videos, like, it was like a running joke in the job. Like, he was in the back of all my videos, and me and him got on brilliant. Like, we, you know, we had this great little kind of rapport with each other. And that day I said to him, like, now you're in the back of all of these. And he actually, I think he used to love being in the videos, you know. So it was grand, and he agreed to everything. And I said, now this one here, you're kind of looking at me in, I might use it or might not use it or whatever, and I'll try cut you out. But when I seen them all doing those videos, right, I'm not great with social media. I wish I had somebody doing me social media, but I was just new to online coaching and I was paying for a mentorship, which was costing me a fortune. So I couldn't, and the app as well cost me a lot of money. Right. So it was a huge bill over my head. So I couldn't afford this social media. So I was just doing my own. And I don't think I, like, probably worded it, but, you know, captioned it correctly, you know, that kind of way. I said, I can see him looking at me, but I'm too focused on what I'm doing. I was trying to portray a strong woman in the gym. And the fact that my post was agreed between me and that man, I didn't, you know, even think twice about putting it up, like, and I had wrote in the caption, you know, just stay in your own lane, make the gym a sanctuary for yourself. You know, not all male attention is negative. And I never, didn't even dawn on me that there would be any backlash or anything would happen whatsoever. Like, I actually wasn't even aware of these people that do these videos or anything. Do you know, because I think I just feed into the positive elements of, like, fitness and nutrition and everything. So that was grand. And then it was like, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks later. It was a Thursday morning. But do you know what? I could feel it in my spirit. Do you ever, like, I could feel something? I remember that night, I think I wrote, oh, there's something on my story about, you know, I can feel some type of, like, abuse or something. I don't know what, I can't describe it to you, but, you know, when you're very in tune and you're very spiritual, like, you can really, you can nearly feel, like, the attacks coming, if that makes sense. So, anyway, then, it was, like, 5 o'clock in the morning and my phone is pinging like mental. And I wakes up and it was just all of this abuse underneath all of my posts. But I hadn't a clue, like, I didn't know where it was coming from. And I was,
like what?
They were just writing, like, you know, grandma, look at her fat belly, look at how old her hands are, you know, look at her lips and all. They were putting memes of plastic. It was all about plastic. And they were writing this, he's not even looking at you, grandma, and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, what's going on? So I went, got dressed, went out on the dock, and I was like, I don't know whether my videos have to go viral. I was on my story saying this. I don't know whether, like, my video went viral or WhatsApp. I could not make it out. And next of all, as I'm talking, the trolls are coming into my stories, writing things on my stories and everything. And I was like, what is going on? And this girl sent me the video of them that the man had done. And what was really weird about the video was, like, you know, he said, oh, as soon as somebody commented, she said, no, he's a really nice guy. Which I did, because I didn't want anybody, you know, shaming him, or because I wasn't shaming him. That's the bottom line, you know. And I'm like, what is this man talking about? Like, one minute he's saying, you know, she's narcissistic, she's shaming this poor guy and all. But it was, you could really see, like, you know, it was all for his own bravado. Like, I could see that clearly with my own eyes. But
can I ask you, so it is an account in the US and Canada.
Yeah.
How many followers?
Miami, I think it is. Miami. And I think he's 7 million followers.
Yeah. And he reproduced your video with him in the corner.
Yeah.
Slagging you off, basically.
Yeah. Calling me a narcissist and saying that I was shaming the man in my video. Basically. So he literally just made his own narrative, like, just completely. Now, I was the first person, I went, oh my goodness, yeah, I understand how it looks. Do you know what I mean? But I was actually trying to do the opposite to what these girls were doing about creep. But obviously, as I said, I don't have anyone good doing me social media. Maybe they would have, like, made it better in, like, you know, the caption that they had put. But I don't know how much better you can get. I can see him looking, but I'm too focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That was what I said. Like, so I don't understand, you know, I just don't understand it. But, like, when I reached out to your man, like, I sent him voice notes and I sent him, like, you know, the proper information and everything. Like, he didn't answer one of my texts.
So going through this, it was, the trolls were in your DMs. Mm. They were commenting on all your videos. So everything, going through your videos and commenting through.
Yeah.
Then it got even worse. There was death threats. Tell me all about that.
So I had to shut down all the comments. The comments were all so bad.
How many?
There was 50,000 hate comments. 50,000, yeah. That's like, that was before we shut everything down, basically, like, you know. And so when we shut the comments down is when they went into me emails with the death threats, because I have a JAF form.
Yeah.
So they were, like, so chilling and so sinister, like, you know, because it was like, die, bitch, you know. I was getting called white trash. I was getting called whore. I was getting called, like, I don't know if I can say some of the things. But the main thing was die, bitch. You know, it was just horrific. Like, you know, when you've fought your whole life, like, you've got back up. Like, I said to my sister, like, a shooting accident, like, and that was on the Saturday, and on the Monday morning I brought James to school. Like, I'm a fighter and a survivor, and that's all I know. So people constantly telling you to die, like, do you know, it's like, you know, I lived my whole life not feeling worthy. Mm. Like, my whole life was not feeling worthy. And now I have 50,000 people validating that unworthiness. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was very hard. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I am a strong Christian woman. Like, that is who I am. And, you know, I'm a child of God, and I'm, you know, saved, sanctified and redeemed. Like, I left all my shame, guilt and sins at the cross where Jesus died. But even with that, and with all the hope that I have, like, I don't think anybody should suffer that abuse. I really, really don't. No human being deserves to suffer that abuse. I did not commit a horrific crime, you know, to deserve that amount of abuse. It was unfathomable. Like, it really was.
It blows my mind that this man across the sea does this, and does this to not only you but a lot of people. And he is calling you a narcissist.
I know. Now, come here, Rebecca. I put my hands up to everything in life. Like, I am a person who has great morals. So I put my hand up. If I've done anything wrong, I will put my hands up immediately and say, yeah, I'm real honest. Like, I'm actually too honest, right? So I would be the first to say, when he did call me a narcissist, like, I've huge narcissistic traits. I didn't get through the life that I got through without cutting off at some point. You know, I was groomed at the age of 14, landed in prison at 17, like a women's prison, proper jail. Like, you know, how can you get through that if you don't cut off? I had to cut off. So I am definitely narcissistic, but I have a heart, a pure heart. That's one thing I know. I've an innocent, pure heart that never left me. That when I the arrested development that I got when I, you know, started drug taking at a very young age, my heart, you know, stayed pure, you know, and I know
always,
that, yeah,
always.
I know that, you know, I know that no matter how cut off I am, that I do have this lovely heart that, you know, I care and I have compassion and, you know, I feel like...
I'm just even so sad that you're, like, having to say
that. I know,
because we know that about you, and anyone who knows you...
Yeah.
Knows that, like, even when we were in Cyprus with you, like, do you know what I mean? Like, and you were so troubled there as well. Yeah. And through it all, we just wanted to help you because we knew your heart.
Yeah.
Like, we just knew your heart. It will always, and for this to be happening, and the thing is, you were never getting away from it because they're on a different time zone. So it was like, you probably didn't sleep.
It was horrific, like, you know, and I was going through a lot as well at the same time with where I lived, you know, and So I was getting it from all angles, and I actually felt like I was going insane. Like, I was like, God, what is going on? Like, I know you're with me, but like, what's the lesson? Like, what is this? Like, do you just want me to let go of this world? Like, do you want me to?
Did you think know? That?
Yeah, I definitely did. I was really like, and you know what? Whatever God wants me to let go of, I let go of, because I know there's something better in store. Like, it's always been the way, and I trust him that much that I know, you know. And he didn't want me to let go. I felt it was like nearly to show people, like, show your strength, like, don't, you know, show young girls that this is how you get through these type of things, because there's too much of it going on now, Rebecca. Do you know, somebody has to be a pioneer at some stage to show and talk to young girls about it. Like, I'm not an expert, but I know how it feels when it first hits. Mm. And like, I don't know if we're going into like the second time round, but I think that was even harder than the first time, because I had the awareness. Like, you know, I the second time was, what's it, it's only a week ago now, like a full week. And when I got sent that video, I was like, I cannot do this again, because I had the awareness of what comes after it, you know. And this second guy, like, was very...
So tell me about that. Tell me. So this happens, and we'll go back to Alan as well, and we'll go back to all that. But so this happens. You're in a really dark hole.
Yeah.
You're pulling yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And then bang.
Yeah.
Someone else shares the same video, and... What said?
It's a different one now. So, when I had to go back in front of the camera, like, you think about this, right? You're already, my baseline is insecurity, and it's the one thing I think God has worked through, like, me rejection, the spirit of rejection. You know, we uprooted that. But I haven't fully worked on the insecurity end of things. Like, I still would be very insecure, you know. And so I have 50,000 people telling me you're fat, ugly, old, whatever, plastic. And I have to go back in front of a camera now. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I was like to my friend, like, I just want to, like, can I put, like, big, huge filters? What can I do? Like, and you can't, and the talking videos, you can't really, you know what I mean? But I just wanted, to put a big mask on, you know, that kind of way. And In one of the videos on CapCut, like, you can, like, if you're feeling, one of the videos, I was in the gym, and I just said, a fella that works in the gym, he had a mic, and he said, do you want to lend of me mic? And I said, would you film it? I had my own tripod, but I was like, would you film it for me? And that way we can move around with it. But obviously I was hormonal, and we got, like, a really bad angle, and I looked 3 times the size of what I was. And I was like, on CapCut, when you're putting the wardens, you have this option to slim.
Right.
So I done it. But obviously, I've never done anything like that before. So I am, like, I'm really bad at editing. So it just goes to show, the first time I do it, I get caught monumentally. Like, do you know what I mean? So when I walked in the video, when I was talking and explaining, when I walked, you could see a treadmill warping, and that's how inexperienced I am. I didn't even notice that, you know, that kind of way. And so he shares this, and then he shares another one of my videos. But when you're using the green screen on Instagram, right, my phone is a little bit glitchy, but when you're using the green screen, things glitch.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So they were trying to say mad things, and then they were trying to say stuff about my clients' photographs. And to be honest with you, Rebecca, at this stage, I genuinely didn't care what they said about me, right? But my livelihood is my life. It's how I feed me and my child on my own. Do you know what I mean? Like, and how I, like, survive. I'm not on social welfares or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I just, that's all I have. Like, and at Christmas, I was standing on my balcony at Christmas time with €500 left in my bank account going, how am I gonna do this? Like, how am I gonna do it? And this man has 5 million net worth in Miami, in a Ferrari in Miami. Like, and I'm just like, why me? Like, why me? Why? What are they getting out of this?
Because it did destroy, because what we talked about, the job forms,
yeah,
that's like a new application, a new client come to you. And so they were filling them out. Yeah.
So I had to shut down business for 8 weeks, 8 full weeks. So, like, everything that I had when I done Christmas, like, I was left with nothing, like, you know, absolutely nothing. This is what these people don't understand. Like, I think they think because you have 10,000 followers, you're bigger than you are. Mm. I live in a flat in town. Do you know what I mean? I don't drive a car. I tried to set up a business, was it 4 years ago, and I went into, I don't know how many lockdowns. I don't know how many people, you know what I mean? Like, got, and then when I did set up the online coaching, you have to pay for mentorships, you have to pay for the app, and I never really got things off the ground. Do you know what I mean? I'm only surviving. Do you know what I mean? And if I wanted to use a filter because I'm hormonal, like, why is some fella all the way across the world bothered about that? Just let me explain the exercise. Like, the girls loved it. I used a foam roller to describe how to get a good position, and it was a really good video. Like, do you know what I mean? So what? I was feeling, I'm not trying to fraud anybody.
Yeah.
I am not trying to fraud anybody. We all know that, yeah. Yeah. I actually look much better in real life than I ever do on camera anyway. Do you know that kind of a way? So,
and this is the thing, is that then this guy, how many, who was he, where, what video, what followers,
so he was really sinister, like a real sinister character. Like, he was scary, I have to say, is scary. And he keeps DMing me that he's gonna feature me again and everything. Like, so I have that fear now. And
Oh my God.
I'd have to just not use filters for him not to go at me again. Do you know what I mean? So he's saying what way I do my videos. Like, so tell me that's not narcissistic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Did you get a backlash from his video? Were you getting that again?
Oh my goodness. Like, it was the same thing. Me comments are off. Everything's off. And yeah.
And you said that when we were talking, because I got told, I think Bev reached out and said to me, Rebecca Paloma is like really in a hole. Yeah. She's not good. Something else has happened to her. And I was like, oh my God. Because I think I was away. I was like, let me look and see. And I was like, Jesus Christ, the one woman who has, like, the strength of the bear, like, you have the strength of the Lord with you.
Yeah.
But I also was like, this is going to ruin, like, really ruin her. She's going to be ruined.
Do you know, remember I said to you before, I said, if it ever starts to affect me, son, that's when it's going to, like, really affect me. And James was like, ma, these comments, like, why? You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh, no. Do you know what, Rebecca, right? You fight your way through addiction, right? And you fight your way through, like, I'm, like, you know, coming from really extreme chronic addiction, right? And you come out the other side ravaged, absolutely ravaged, and you build your life back up and you get rid of the shame and you get rid of the guilt. And then you feel like, damned if I do and damned if I don't. Do you know what I mean? Am I making a show on me, son, even if I walk and live a normal life? And if it, so there's no, like, I can't get away from it. You know that kind of way? I can't get away from abuse from people no matter what I do. Do you know that way? Like, I'm ridiculed regardless, like, which is really hard. Like, do you know what I mean? When all you're doing is your best, you know?
Did that affect you the most, James?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I always said it, like, to be honest, I can handle anything, but I don't want my child getting affected. I brought him into the world to protect him. Do you know that way? Like, and I'm the only one, like, there's no dad in the picture anymore. Like, so I'm the only one that's really trying to, like, be there for him. And you know what I mean? I'm trying to show him a better way and a better life and stuff like that. And how can I do that? I feel like I'm failing at doing that if all this is going on. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and did you reach out to that guy as well and ask him to stop?
Yeah, I sent him 2 voice notes, roaring, crying. Like, roaring. I was actually sobbing in Eastwall. And
you don't cry?
No, Rebecca, that was what I said on my stories. I was like, for a woman that doesn't cry, I had this like huge anxiety for months since the first episode and Alan's death. And I was going around like I was really, like I know I definitely have a bit in, or you know, like stuff with ADHD and stuff like that. And I get really like distracted and anxious and all over the place. I can get like that really easily, you know, and the alcoholism as well. And the, it, you know, if my addiction gets untreated, I can get like that. And I was like, I knew I wasn't right for months, you know, that way. But when I got the video, I just, it like everything came out, and I was like in the middle of Aldi screaming, crying, like, and people were ringing me because I think I said to him on the phone, like, do you want me dead? Like, do you actually want me dead? Like, what do you want from me? Do you want me blood? Because that's all that's left, like, at this stage. Do you know what I mean? And I'm really sorry if I'm saying this and, you know, anyone has gone through losing anybody through suicide, but I think for that split second, your whole life comes down on top of you, you know, and you know the barrage of hatred that's going to come after, because it was already coming in abundance. And I was like, I'm on my own. I feel lost. I feel like, I just felt like kind of really like crucified at that stage. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I sent him that voice note, and all he said back was, I'm going to feature you again. I'm going to feature you again. And I was like, he is just one sadistic, sick man, you know. Now, a woman sent me a voice note from America, and she said, like, he lost his mother and father. And I said, that gives me a little bit of, you know, understanding to it all. Like, it does give me a little bit of understanding, so I can pray around the situation. And I was lifting him up in prayer the other day, and you know, I did feel like, look, I know when you lose,
how do you
father,
do that?
I know,
how do you, like, because that's one thing that I find a little bit hard, like, yeah, you have to keep, yeah, praying for them,
yeah,
but in this situation,
yeah,
how, yeah, do you just not ask, you know, God to strike them down?
Oh, I do as well.
Mm, good for you. Yeah, because I would. I couldn't pray for them.
I do as well. Because, yeah, like, you know, there's Psalms where David is asking God to put his wrath on his enemies. Do you know what I mean? And see, I have to leave room for God's wrath. So I can't, it's not my wrath, it's his, you know. Mm. And I think the reason I give them up so easily now today is because God has you know, done the work for me so many times before, do you know, and in his way, which is always better, you know, because my way will land me back in the other place.
You don't want to go back there.
No.
No, oh my God. But that's what, like, it would be really hard for me to,
yeah,
you know, ask forgiveness for those people for doing those things to you.
Yeah.
And that woman reaching out to you and saying that you lost his parents, but, you know, yeah, is she not saying, you know, he's a, yeah, scumbag, you know, you shouldn't, yeah, be doing these things?
Oh, yeah. No, she was.
Did she
saying,
know him?
Like, do you know what? I think there's these certain people and they follow them all and they follow the drama and everything, and then they reach out to you. It's a really weird, dark world that you just, you wouldn't even, your mind wouldn't stretch to it, you know, that kind of a way. And, like, apparently the two of them, well, she said, this woman, she said the two of them have the same lawyer.
Oh.
Which, like, I find really sinister as well. Mm, do you know that way? Like,
and I know we were talking on the first episode that happened. There was an episode of the podcast, first episode of what happened to you. Well, people reached out to you from them pages as well and, yeah, helped you.
Yeah, like, you know, there was some of them. And, you know, like, even I think they know how bad that the abuse can get. Like, this one woman, like, and she seems to kind of reach out to all the girls because I don't think she likes what they're doing. Do you know, she's like a bit of a campaigner. She does, she works with charities for people in America who can't get funding for rehabs and stuff.
Okay.
And I think the fact that I was sober really bothered her, you know.
Mm.
So she reached out to me and she was actually amazing. I have to say, she was really very comforting, you know. And this time around, then she reached out to me again, like, you know.
And that helped you. And like, it's mad that a stranger is trying to destroy you, and then a stranger is trying to help you. And then during all this, well, before you lost your brother.
Yeah. And I, do you know what, Rebecca, I kept saying, because, like, you know, me and Alan lived the closest to each other, and because we had suffered with the same illness, like, you know, we had that bond, you know. And I, when I relapsed, or when I was really bad, like, I was always with Alan, you know, like, I would have done a lot of kind of the madness with Alan from very young, you know. And I put my calmness after his death down to the fact that I thought he was safe, because I was always so worried about him, you know. Like, I always had this vision that, you know, he was going to let somebody into his apartment and they were going to kill him, you know. I always had that, you know, worrying, and I always prayed, you know. I always did ask God, would he take him, you know. In my morning prayer, I was always lifting him up and asking God to take him, because I knew, I tried so much with trying to get him into rehab and get him into meetings, and I knew that he just wasn't hearing it. He wasn't, you know, like, there was no entry there for real.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Recovery, you know, unless he had got, like, hospitalized for a long time, because that's what it would have needed, because that's how sick he was. And I was really calm after he died, and I cried a little bit when his coffin went back, and that was it then. I must have just shut down. But obviously, I know that that man in America didn't have the power to make me feel the way I felt that Saturday and Sunday. And I cried bitter tears, like, I really sobbed like a baby. And I feel like that was, I grieved Alan that day. And I haven't had that anxiety.
So you think what was here was Alan?
Yeah, it definitely was. Definitely.
Can I ask you, why do you think, because I know, and if people want to go back and listen to your first episode, you nearly died at the hands of someone getting into your flat. So that's why you had the worry about Alan. Why do you think recovery works for some and doesn't work for others? Do you have any opinion.
Do you know what?
It.
I feel like Sister Concilio used to grab my hand, right? Because she loved me and she was so good to me, right? And she used to grab my hand and say, there's no such thing as a hopeless case, because I'd be crying and I'd be saying, why do I keep doing it? And she'd go, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. And I firmly believe there is no such thing as a hopeless case. Mm-hmm. That's my heart. I truly believe that, because you would have wrote me off, Rebecca. You would have totally wrote me off. I had eating disorders, drug addictions. I would get addicted to that cup. I cannot do anything without getting addicted to it. And I'm here today free from all of that, which is an absolute miracle. And I truly believe if you just have one addiction, there's hope. There's absolute hope. But I do think there are not enough resources in Ireland, in Dublin. I don't think there's enough resources for them. You know, because I remember trying to get into rehab and nearly dying trying to get in. You know, that way. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you really want it and you really want recovery, it presents itself. You know, people will come into your path. I do believe, if you're out there, I want to say this to people who are out there and struggling with addiction at the moment. If you're out there, right, if you make a sincere, cry to God and ask Him for help, everyone will come. Because before I believed and before I knew the power of God, I used to say, God, will you please take me? Because if I'm no good to me child, somebody else will mind him better. Because if I keep drinking like this and doing what I'm doing, I'm no use to him, Lord. Just take me, God, take me. And he didn't. He took me to rehab instead. God works in mysterious ways. And I wasn't making it into rehab. So God used an incident and got me to hospital, got me to rehab quick. And here I am today, and in different situations, when I prayed about, I remember knowing that, there was this want in me, and I knew different things, I knew there was, spirits inside of me that needed to be fixed and stuff. And God will use the very thing that's killing you to heal you, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That way. You'll get hurt enough with either the substance or whatever it is, with a two-legged drink, which is the man. It will you'll go into enough pain that you'll realise and you'll uproot that deeper issue,
And tell me this, let's be very clear. You were in prison and you started your journey of education.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are probably one of the most qualified people in health and nutrition that I know.
Yeah. Rebecca, it was mad. See, I would have that hyper focus. So I can only really focus on something that I'm really interested in. But when I am, I go to the deep core of it and more and more and more. So nutrition and fitness was like that with me for years. And I've never lost that hyper focus for it. When I set up the online coaching, I sat in front of the laptop and created 47 different plans, all in one go. And if you said to me today, now sit down and do that now, I'd be it's this hyper focus that comes on at a certain time if you're really interested and you really want to get things done in regards to it. And I have that with nutrition. I'm obsessed, absolutely obsessed with whole foods and clean foods, and I've always stuck to my guns on that. When everyone was coming in and they were slating us all for all that, I didn't budge from it, I didn't move from it, because whole foods healed me after addiction. They healed me, spirulina, all the whole foods and stuff like that. I was left with a lot of insulin resistance and a lot of my endocrine system would have been all out of sync. So I had to heal myself with food, you know, and I done it, and I know the power and the magic of food, you know. So therefore, I wouldn't give my clients what I don't believe in. And if I wouldn't put it into my body, I'm not going to give it to you, you know. So that's when you come onto my plan, you'll get a whole food plan, you know, and everything is, you've seen a girl where you live and she's cooking everything the result that she's got in that time. And I think that's why when that last man was starting, I said, you can touch me, you can say what you want about me, but not my craft, not what I have worked 20 years, you know. And if I had my way, I'd do it for free. Do you know, I always said to you, like, money is not my king, Rebecca. I'm not here to, like, I don't, you know, money, if I started to idolise money, I'm in trouble. If I could, but unfortunately, I need money to live, do you know, and I want to create a better life for me and my son, you know. But I believe in it, and I'm so passionate about it that I share everything that I share will be what's going to, like, better your lifestyle, better your health, help you out the way it's helped me out. You know, everything is tried and tested by me, obviously. But yeah, that's it.
Where did you get the strength to come back on camera this time? Because, as I said, like, I was getting the phone calls.
Yeah.
Everyone was worried about you.
Yeah.
And then Paul, I said, Paul, look, she's online. I said, because we were worried.
Yeah.
And then he said, look at her doing that video. Like, you just came on.
Yeah. Do you know what? I went down to St. Mark's. I cried till that Sunday. And me head kept telling me, like, you know, not to go down to the church and not to do this and not to do that. And I have enough experience to know anything my head tells me not to do, I do the opposite of it, because my head led me into addiction over the years. You know, my head was the thing that got me in trouble, so I do the opposite of it, you know. So I knelt down in the church. Everyone stands, we all stand and praise and worship, but I just dropped to my knees and I rocked back and forward and I sobbed and I just gave everything. It's not my battle, it's his. It's the Lord's battle, like, it's his battle, and I have to leave room for his rat. And I just I vowed to myself when I stood up in that church that I am not lying down to this again, because I've done nothing wrong. I need to show young people, you know, that, you know, who doesn't use a filter today? They're there to be used, they're on the phone to be used. It was a school by error, do you know what I mean? I'm 44, still in the fitness industry, going in front of the camera, like, give me a break, do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I don't know, it was just God, basically just God gave me the strength, like he always does, you know. And there's this song called Defender, Rita Springer Defender, and it's like, it says, hallelujah, you have saved me, you know. And it's just, if the viewers listen to it now, like, it's amazing, it's so powerful. And, you know, that was being played in the church.
Wow.
And that was played in I was in a psychiatric ward, and that came on my phone. And I remember, like, getting myself back to life, you know, with that song, like, going around. I remember saying, like, I was shuffling around the corridors, like, with that song playing. And then all of a sudden, I just came back to life, you know. And that's the way God works, you know. He'll bring you back and stand you back on your feet. Like, I stood you on that rock of salvation, you know, that's in Psalm 18, you know. I met Katie Taylor when I was in church at Christmas, and I said to her, Psalm 18 is my Psalm. Very and I was good. Telling her about it, about when I was in rehab and I had cried out to the Lord and I first felt his presence come in, and I knew I could do it, you know. And I got a Bible. I said, I asked him for a Bible, and the minute I opened it, it was on Psalm 18, and it says, like, the ropes of death entangled you, I delivered you from a violent man, I stood you on that rock of salvation. So that's my Psalm, and that's how I fight my battles. It's the Psalm of David. And we're doing in church at the moment, we're doing, like, a whole episode on being strong and courageous. And in the church, the day that I was given that battle to God, there was a fella from America. He was from Nashville, and he was talking about, like, you know, being vulnerable, you know, and allowing the Lord to do the work, you know, being allowing him to fight for you, you know. All you need to do is be still and know that I am God. you know, and he'll fight.
What do, when we have our lovely conversation, we, you know, Paul just be laughing at us sometimes. Yeah. When I get lovely voice notes off you, I love him as well. And I know not to let him listen to him because he's like, just laughs at us. Do you know what I mean? What does James and your family think of your love of God?
Well, you know, I, what way my family, I think, look at it now is like, you know, the way I was, I think my family, I know it was a miracle. They know God is real. Because of me, you know, they do definitely know. Now, did you laugh at me as well? Like, you know, Margaret, Erin's mom, Margaret, to send me this, like, she's always hoping that I get married, like, find someone nice and get married. And she sent me a veil with Jesus wrote on the back of it. And she said, I'll buy you that veil if you get married, you know. And, like, we have that bit of, like, I remember, like, the first steady bit of money that I made, I went up to Cut Price Jewelers and I got like Jesus wrote in, and I was like in gold, and I was like to Fran, I'd say that's a force. I didn't feel right getting my own name because I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for him, you know.
And what does James think?
Yeah, do you know, he just like, I think he's just happy because I'm here, and I think he knows the power of God, like, you know.
It's mad, because I said, he just laugh at me. We'll get him there one day. We will probably get you to church one of the days and see how you get on.
We will.
Tell me about the community. Were you surprised of those who reached out in support?
Rebecca, I have to say, there's nothing like Dublin women when you're going through. Like, Dublin women are a different breed of, like, strength and support. Like, me neighbours were hugging me out on the street, like, Ruth, you know, there was the women, Jacinta Murphy, I have to give her a mention because she's still supporting me online, and you know, me friend's little girl and everything, leave my ma's friend alone. Like, you know, I think we raise our kids to be these major supporters, like, and all me ma's friends were all out in force, like, you know, and it was just so lovely, like, it really was, you know. You can't describe the love of Dublin women and how they can come in just when you need them, you know. There was a girl actually just off Instagram rang me and everything. Yeah, Cindy, she just rang me. I was coming out of Aldi sobbing, crying, and she just rang me. And it was just so powerful, you know, like, and all the McGregors, like, straight on to me. And, you know, they're just so, because they know what it's like to get that kind of abuse. So it's really good when you're talking, I think, to people who have been through it, you know, that way. Like, they really get it, you know. Erin just really was like, you know, I think when you hear the same thing happens to other people, like, it can be quite comforting, you know. It lets you feel like you're not alone, you know. Yeah.
Because that's what I find really hard. And this is the thing, like, we worry about this with our children, that the children, our children are going to see this, but not on the scale that you got it on.
And I hope, like, nobody ever has to receive that.
Yeah, because, and that's what I'm saying, like, even with the comments that were on his page from your supporters saying, you have no idea who this woman is, you have no idea the life she's lived, you have no idea what she's had to overcome. Yeah. And, like, you know, not all, if this was to happen to someone else, they mightn't get the support that you've had. You know what I mean?
I actually wondered that. I wondered, did they notice that, you know, that way? Like, I was hoping that they did, you know, that kind of way. Like, and I just thought, isn't that lovely for the Irish? Do you know what I mean? Like, we're a breed of people that were born fighting. Like, I came out of the womb fighting. I don't know about you, but I was just crazy. Like, I used to sit on the end of the stairs, no one cursed in the house, and I used to sit on the end of the stairs shouting in obscenities into the sitting room. Like, I was just always fighting. So I didn't want to lie down to this, but, you know, the second time round, I was like, can't do this again. But I only was able to because of my supporters. I think my supporters came in even heavier for the second time around, because they were like, no, this is not fair, you know, like, whatever about the once, but this again, like, she's only getting over this, you know.
And that's what I'm saying. And it's mad because it's these either sometimes faceless men or, like, you know, you don't want to be like, you know, bloody body shaming them or not, but like, it's like the state of them, the state of them to do that to you. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Like, it's, it, you know, I mean, who's holier than thou? Like, who is holier than thou? Nobody. So I don't see where you can come in. And like, I thought the second one was, and the first one as well, like, they were both really unfair because they were trying to like mock me and ridicule me as a coach, you know, just because I don't do what everyone else does. You know, I'm not in this like, you know, generic kind of like coaching thing, you know. I just do my own thing. I'm bit of a, like a maverick. I just have always just done my own thing and stay in my own lane. But I attract a certain type of woman, you know, that, you know, they're not all like bodybuilding, heavy lifting, you know, kind of. I do do that myself. I've just kind of like gone back into that now lately, you know, because as I got older, the lean muscle mass was decreasing, you know, due to like the drop. But leave us to it, like, you know. I get great results, I do a great service. Like, I was praying about it, right? And I'd be robbing women of a service if I left the industry, like, you know, somebody who genuinely cares, who has answers for them about like insulin resistance, perimenopause, menopause, about, you know, nutrition, like about supplementation, like a vast knowledge of it. Like, why should I leave? Like, why should I go? They want me to go. I know they do. Like, because that's like, I don't know if it's like AI generated, but all I was getting was close down your page, you know, leave, you know. And all they were saying was, you know, what was it in the job form? One was the die, and then, you know, close your page down, shut down your business, and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
And isn't it mad that I do wonder, where do they find your page? Where do they find your page?
That's, do you know what? That's like one of the seven mysteries, because I don't follow any of them. As I said, like, I didn't even know these kind of men existed. So I did wonder, like, was it sent? Do you know what I mean? Like, it does, like, call a spade, you'd have to wonder.
Yeah.
Was that content sent to them? Do you know?
It's the only way. Because how would they find you? Because no offence to you, to me, or to anyone, but we're just these...
A dot in the middle of Dublin. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
For him to find you on that page and then to do that to you is just incredulous. It's absolutely incredulous, because it just begs. But again, what you have to take that as Paul always tells me, like, what is the flattery, the form of... What's that saying? He's like, he's ignoring me on the camera here.
Yeah, imitation. There you go. Form of flattery. Mm. Yeah,
and it's just jealousy. So obviously, someone who knows how good
who
you
sent
are,
it.
Has gone and done that.
Yeah,
and the thing about the fitness industry in Ireland, there's a lot of cowboys in it.
Ah, do you know, like, I would be, and you know what, I would be the first person, right, if you reached out to me and you said to me, Paloma, I don't know how to do X, Y and Z, I would be the first one on the QT, and you will never hear, I'm so staunch, like, I've always been old school like that, you'll never hear that I helped you. I've helped countless amounts of people in the fitness industry get off the ground, get their gyms off the ground, get things done, and you'll never hear it from me, you know. So if they just reached out, don't put people down, reach out to them, because a lot of the women who are very knowledgeable in the fitness industry are very, very eager to help you, because the reason we want to help you is so that you're not passing on wrong information. Like, we want to help that much that we want the industry to be a better place. Like, that's the way I feel anyway.
And you know? I know, like, from being in your classes, like, a lot of people came that were with other people and their bodies were ruined, or they were doing things that should never have been done.
And you see, I think that that's where it kind of gets toxic, because I don't think people take it personal when I help somebody that they probably couldn't. Do you know that way? Like, and I think they take it really personal, and it's not personal. It's not that you're a bad coach, it's not at all. It was just she needed something a bit more in depth with her nutrition and with the format of her training plan. That's all. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you're not the coach for her. That's all it means. So don't take it personal. Like, don't try and, you know, kill me because of this reason. You know what I mean? Kill me off and get me off the...
Yeah.
I'm not going off the map. Do you know what I mean? I've proved that by now. But I don't need any more abuse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm being abused my whole life. If you look at my history, it's a history of abuse. So I cannot go through another like stage of my life being abused. I refuse to, you know, enough is enough.
That statement is frightening the life out of me, because that is a cry for help.
Yeah.
You're telling people,
I know,
enough.
Yeah.
Is enough.
Yeah.
You can't do this anymore if they do this again to you.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like, imagine having to do that, you know. And that's without being dramatic or anything, because it's real and it's serious, you know, that way.
I'm so sorry that it's all had to happen. You know, I really am, because,
yeah,
do you know what? Like, we love you.
I know.
We love you, and everybody who knows you, loves you. And we're so sorry that this is after happening to you, because it never should have happened to you.
No. And, you know, like, when you're saying that there now, like, I can't even take... Do you see the way I go when somebody shows me love? Like, I go... Because I'm so damaged, like, what happens to me is, Rebecca, you see when all that abuse comes in, I go back to that wounded child, like, who's used to being abused, and so then them intrusive thoughts come in. Like, I can go from, my intrusive thoughts are so bad that I can go from being really grateful to wanting to die. Do you know that kind of a, like, I'm not saying that, but it's that's what I battle with in my mind. That's what goes on all day. Like, if you... I think, I remember my friend Jade sending me this, like, me and Jade are in recovery, like, and she sent me this, she goes, did you know people's minds are still? And I was like, what do you mean? She says, like, people have nothing, like, they've no voices going on in their mind. I said, what? I said, no, nothing going on. I said, so there's no one telling them, like, they're worthless and they're not... The mind of an addict has, like, voices going around 24/7 saying mad stuff. Like, it's constant chatter in your head. So then when there's 50,000 people saying it as well, you're like, it's crazy. Like, it's just, your mind goes to very dark places. Like, you're battling already with your mind without them adding to it. Like, you know. No. It's not easy. It's not. I used to always say that in counselling sessions. Like, I don't do counselling or anything anymore, because Jesus counsels me every morning and throughout the day. But I used to always cry in counselling sessions and say, it's really hard being me when I was younger, because when I was trying to deal with all that without God, like, you know, it was daily battle. Like, so you can imagine, I had eating disorder, I had alcoholism, I had drug addiction, I had, like, trouble with men because I didn't know, you know, how to be in a relationship or anything. And then I had this head that told me I was constantly worthless, like, you know what I mean? So you're trying to live in the world and that's your natural state of being. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And then you come into recovery, you find God, and you finally feel like you're, you know, getting somewhere in life and getting on a path. And it's like, I got them voices out of my head, and now they're coming back through the internet, you know. And it's tough, because when you're walking online, it's different, you know. You can't just shut things down.
And that's what they did. They shut it down. They lost your revenue. Single mother trying to do what you're doing. But come here, the photos I'm seeing coming out, like Terry Kavanagh's photo, is just incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. And they've obviously a mission to get the ready. But
because he knows, like, you know, like, I can train men or women, you know, and he had been training a lot himself, you know, and then we just, you know, done a really good program, hypertrophy men's cut, and he, like, just completely transformed. I remember getting that photograph and going, my God, like, so I know my program is good, but when you see it, it's like, I still get blown away by my results when I get sent them, you know.
But that's you.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. And that girl, wasn't Audrey, what's the girl's name? That within 4 weeks she had a photo and
Maeve. Oh, Maeve. And you know what? Maeve was really lovely because I met Maeve. Oh, well, I had to do a special offer to try and get in some revenue for Christmas. So Maeve was one of the girls who came in on the special offer. Mm. And she literally, I remember I was like really fighting to get things back in January, like to feel good about what I'd done again, you know, that way. And like every week Maeve was sending me the photo, but she was meticulous, like with everything. And I just was like, now I knew she was going to get a good result, but not like that. So Maeve was very special, I have to say. Yeah, I loved it. And she's brilliant. She's so supportive, lovely woman. She's an artist and she's just lovely, you know. You get blessed with lovely clients sometimes, yeah.
And we were at a funeral the other day in Prize at Morris Guidon's funeral, and Rebecca and Dion were standing next to me, and I was like, how are you? And they were like, oh my God. And then seeing Rebecca's photos as well, it's just cool. So don't let anyone take that joy away from you, because I know it brings you so much joy.
Yeah.
And I know it's very easy for me to sit here and say that, but I know you've the hand of God in you, so I know you're okay.
Yeah.
But don't ever let anyone take even a fraction of that away from you.
No.
Like, Aria tonight, she was like, oh my God, Mammy's Paloma. I said, Paloma's coming again. And she was like, oh my God, Mammy. She's like, I have to do a picture for her. I have to do a picture. Because that's what people do. They just look at your lovely face and your lovely smile and your lovely demeanour. And we know that you're just pure joy. You're pure. So don't let anyone take that away.
No, I was actually walking down the road. It was funny. And I said, you know, when you get a glimmer of being happy again, I was walking up the road and I was just like, do you know what? I just want that back. Because a woman was hugging me last week, and a woman where I live. And she said, I can see you're not that bubbly self, you know, your bubbly self. And I can see the spark has gone out of you. And I want to see that back, you know, because Anne would have seen me in the gutter, you know. And I think she was afraid, like,
I say a lot of people were afraid that that's where you were going to turn to. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, would we blame you?
No,
we wouldn't blame you. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely not. And the thing is, Rebecca, like, what people don't realise is, like, for somebody else to pick up a drink, it could be just, like, a bit of trouble or a bit of a relapse or whatever like that. But I've no more chances. I opened every trapdoor that there is. So I know that the next time, like, I just missed that. Like, so the next time, you just pick up where you left off and then you go worse. So the only worse I can get is death. Do you know? So it's life or death for me to pick up a drink. Do you know what I mean? That's how serious. That's what they're playing around with. You know, that's what's there. And anyone who's in recovery knows what I'm talking about, you know.
And the thing is, they simply don't care.
No, they have no compassion, none whatsoever. No compassion. Like, I heard one of them is supposed to be in recovery, but there are things that I wouldn't get away with in recovery. I wouldn't get away with it. I know that I wouldn't be long about using if I behaved like that.
I just wish you the best of luck, and I know you'll be flying soon. You will be flying. You'll be
God
back.
God is good,
and the business will be flying soon. And as I said to everyone, if you want to hear Paloma's original story, you can find it, and we'll share that after this one. And we leave it there.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. I love you so much. Love you so much.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.